My attention was called the other day to something in miscellany which I had not noticed in connection with the human mind. Mrs. Eddy has stated, quote, "The spirit of the prayer of the righteous heals the sick. But this spirit is of God, and the divine mind is the same yesterday, today, and forever, whereas the human mind is a compound of faith and doubt, of fear and hope, of faith in truth and faith in error." Close quote. In the individual human consciousness is established the true brotherhood of man. One might be inclined to hold to the conviction that the brotherhood of man would depend upon the establishment of truth in the consciousness of all humanity, that the brotherhood of man could not be accomplished until each and every individual had enthroned God in consciousness. This is not so, any more than the fact that the millennium can arrive only when all mankind is saved through science. The brotherhood of man and the millennium are established in individual consciousness, because that of which the individual is cognizant through the medium of his senses is the material objectification or projection of individual thought. As love becomes enthroned in individual consciousness, all that that consciousness beholds through the medium of the senses becomes lovely. Love enthroned in individual consciousness makes it impossible for that individual to see his brother as hateful, sinful, revengeful, and the like. And thus, when love reigns supreme in the consciousness of the individual, then all mankind will become objects of love to the individual. In this way is the brotherhood of man established in individual consciousness, because the brotherhood of man implies man governed by love. In like manner is the millennium, or the kingdom of heaven, attained. I presume that the average person thinks of the millennium as that state of existence where every individual therein, and every object therein, has come under the rule of divine mind. If this were so, it would make individual salvation dependent upon the salvation of every individual in the world, and this would rather take away from one the zeal and prospect of accomplishment. When individual consciousness has become completely spiritual, then will the millennium have arrived for that individual, because one's concept of existence would then have become spiritual. And it is only in individual consciousness that existence of any nature becomes a matter of individual experience. In Science and Health, Mrs. Eddy says, quote, "Beauty, as well as truth, is eternal. But the beauty of material things passes away, fading and fleeting as mortal belief. Custom, education, and fashion form the transient standards of mortals. Comeliness and grace are independent of matter. Being possesses its qualities before they are perceived humanly. Beauty is a thing of life, which dwells forever in the eternal mind and reflects the charms of his goodness in expression, form, outline, and color. It is love which paints the petal with myriad hues, glances in the warm sunbeam, arches the cloud with the bow of beauty, blazons the night with starry gems, and covers earth with loveliness. Close quote. It is love, she says, which makes all things beautiful and harmonious. But where must this love find expression? Certainly not in the flower, whose petals are painted with myriad hues, nor in the sunbeam, which in times of a drought might be the cause of a parched earth, nor in any material object, because, as Mrs. Eddy says, quote, the beauty of material things passes away, close quote. This love, which paints the petals with myriad hues, and which glances in the warm sunbeam, must find expression in individual consciousness before it can be manifested as a quality of beauty in the material universe, which is the object of our individual thinking. Love does not, independent of individual consciousness, paint the petal with myriad hues. It is the love in consciousness which does this, and which makes all things beautiful and harmonious. As individual thought becomes godlike, or Christlike, through the influx of divine love, the objects of thought, even though materially conceived, become lovely, because it would be impossible to separate the objects of thought from that which exists in individual consciousness. For instance, if one held in consciousness hate or anger or resentment towards one particular individual or thing or condition, that hate could not be separated from everything or anything of which that particular individual consciousness is conscious. That is, the hate or loathing which one might feel towards some particular individual would affect every object in the life and experience of the individual entertaining that hate or loathing. While the objects of individual consciousness may express themselves as many, or as a multiplicity of objects, each object separate and distinct from the other, yet the consciousness or human mind through which these various objects become a part of individual consciousness and experience, is one. And the qualities of thought entertained in that one particular consciousness are bound to be manifest in the entire objectification or material externalization of that consciousness. Thus, if your or my consciousness beholds hundreds of different people, and we are entertaining hate in consciousness towards one person, the hate which we hold in that consciousness cannot be separated so that it will not affect everything and everyone of which or of whom we are conscious. We may not be aware that we are hating everyone because we hate one. Nevertheless, we are, and we can never gain the true concept of even our dearest friends and relatives while we are holding in consciousness hate towards anyone. Whatever is held in consciousness affects, in some way or another, every object of that consciousness, be it person, place, or thing. Let me quote here a few lines from the pen of one of your fellow students, which is very expressive, and which not only is most appropriate in this connection, but which is clear evidence that we may be entertaining angels, one angel, unawares. The few lines are entitled Artists, and are as follows. A bit of canvas, brush of camel's hair, splashes of color from the palette's face, and ugliness or beauty's matchless grace appear in vivid vision, dark or fair. A scene from memory or just a rare effect of fancy, whether pure or base, each quality projected has its place, because the artist's concept put it there. We are all artists, with uncanny skill, depicting on the canvas of the thought concepts designed to bless us or to curse. Ours the selection, choosing as we will the colors of our picture. Thus is wrought our character, our lives, our universe.